Oislamet Hay. Yamim Balayla Zikra Mipicha Al Yamush. So a person should constantly be mentioning Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'shach b'cha tiske b'avosoy. When you're lying down, you should be involved, deeply involved in the avat of Kadosh Baruch Hu. U'kumecha u'viluchecha timse'ena. As you're going, you should find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Be'kitzose b'oy tishasheya u'hu yiyash o'ruch yisecha. So, the Rav Volber writes in an interesting nusach. He says, in Ali Shurka the base, he has the Morocha on the top, the element of Yira. So he defines Yira. Yira is awareness. Yira is the process of becoming aware of reality. When you're aware of the reality, you understand the difference between yourself and Kadosh Baruch Hu, the distance. So that's the yira is the awareness of the gap. I call it, you know, watch the gap. We spoke about this last year, I think, or 2 years ago. You know, they have it in by the subway. They have it watch the gap, right? So yira is the idea of being watching the gap, being aware of that distance between me and the Creator. Rama's lashon is that a person is, understands that the Bereshit is the Kel Tamim Deus, and I'm a very Shvela Fela. That awareness of the distance. The Morale says that we talk about Yira Shemayim. You never have a nusach of Abba Shemayim. You don't love Shemayim. You love a Kadosh Baruch. You have Abba Hashem. So you should have Yira Hashem. What's a Yira Shemayim? So the Morale says, in Ovis, in the Derech Haim, he says that the awareness of the gap is exactly the point of Yira, that he's in the Shemayim and you're in the Oretz, that awareness of the distance. So but in that piece of awareness, he points out that most of us, when we daydream, when I'm busy, I'm busy, but when my mind wanders, it wanders about myself. I start thinking about, you know, my life, whatever it is. The thought process will be about me. He says, you open up Sefer Yira L'Rabbeinu Yonah, and it's called Sefer Yira. And Sefer Yira, all it is really, is a halacha sefer. He goes through basically a person's day. That's the halacha that you have to keep. So where's the Yira? Where's the element of Yira? So he says, if you read the sefer carefully, you realize that L'Rabbeinu Yonah, when he daydreamed the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When his mind wandered, he started thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Yira. The message of living a day the way you're supposed to, but it's rooted in the fact that my mind is being shoyge in the Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly. I'm that's where my mind is. That's where my thought process is. So I have any free moments, so I lie down in bed. So what do you think about? He says, the Rosh says, you're tiske b'avosa. You're in this world of thinking about Abbas Hashem. One point. Second point, it says, Yemem b'layla zichru mipicha al yomush. So we need to talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We need to talk about him. We should constantly mention him. So Baruch Hashem, we do. You know, one of my chavrim once told me a very cute story. He was in City X, Froom neighborhood, and he had to go to the store, and there's a sign on the window. It says Mem Hey, we'll be back in 15 minutes. So he said, well, what's Mem Hey? Mem Hey, Mirtz Hashem, right? Mirtz Hashem. So he says, aha. Uh-huh. So that's not what the person understood, but he was writing. Right. So we say the phrases. I was once on the metro, you know, and you get to get interesting experiences on the metro sometimes. So this African American woman gets on, you know, with the big. She starts reciting psalms out loud in English. In the middle, she starts saying, "God, I love you." You know, like she doesn't care that there's 50 people there. Get a Jewish man to say, talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in Hebrew. I love God. It sounds so foreign to our ears. It sounds so uncomfortable. Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal, in his inimitable way, Pasha almost embarrassed to say it over, he says, we think the word Lord is a four-letter word. We never use it. That's what he said. We're not comfortable talking about God. says Zichr Yomer Bala Zichr Mipicha Ayomush means we got to talk about him. The only way we're going to be internalize that the Bereshim is real and he's part of our reality and we live with him and that he is by talking about it constantly. So Yomer Bala Zichr Mipicha Ayomush, you cannot stop talking about it, otherwise it doesn't go in. So we work on Amunah, we grapple with Amunah, and we have Amunah, we believe. But there's believing and there's believing. V'yamein ha'om, v'yaminu v'ashem v'mo'e sh'avdo. It says, v'yamein ha'om, v'yaminu v'ashem. So you already believed. There's believing and there's believing. Right? There's different madregas. Amunah, it's not one madrega, it's madrega, madrega, madrega. But living with Amunah, that it's real. Somebody asked me, so you know, but the madrega that a person's supposed to have when talking about these issues, you know, somebody ba'av will do, you know, so the chinuch says that the Torah does not expect you to be like a stone, that you have no reaction at all. Person hurts you, you feel bad. Kashayar b'zman ma, I don't say how long zman ma is. After time, some time passes, you recognize that a Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing, it's not this person, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu did it to you. So what if that is on the guy? Ubedavre Zed, David HaMelech, right, by the Maestro Shimon Ben Gera, Shemar Moloi Kalel, he became the Rego Vila Merkava. Okay, means Maestro, you get to be the Rego Vila Merkava, you're able to do that. So David HaMelech is running away, he's in a state of tremendous Bohola, he's running away from his own son trying to kill him. He goes to the Gadol Hador, who's also the Rebbe of his child, he comes to Shimon Ben Gera. And his reaction, he's expecting, you know, a good word, help, etc. And he gives the kilani klola limretzes. Not stama klola, but a klola mamish klola limretzes. Like, you know, it's a running klola. Word after word after word, you know, he's mamish, we makal him. Right? So I run into a Moshe Feinstein and he starts giving me klolas. Right? While I'm in the state of running away from my own child, the people with him wanted to be pagay against him. He was smart with Malchus. Leave him alone. Hashem Malach Halel. That's David HaMelech. Im calls there. He had such clarity of that. It's not him. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Soif Yamov. He tells Shlomo HaMelech, you got to take care of Shimon Ben Gera. So the Rashi says. It says you should make sure that he doesn't die a peaceful death, because otherwise he'll go to Gehenna. Rashi says this way: if you kill him, that'll save him from Gehenna. He'll be able to go to Gan Eden. That's Dovid HaMelech's concern about Shimon Ben Gera. Like, wow, Rashi is very important over there. Otherwise, it's a vindicative king on his deathbed. You know, getting, you know, taking revenge. That's not pshat. Rashi says it's a totally different world. Okay, so we're not holding with that madrig. Shiyar b'zman ma. But how are you supposed to do that? Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be real to you. So how does it be real? She says, the only answer is, you need to talk about it. And we don't. And again, we do. We talk about it, you know, behind this nice, you know, Hashkacha Pratis, Hashkacha Pratis. Everything is Hashkacha Pratis. The Baruch Hu is taking care of you constantly. I mentioned to you, I think, last year, 2 years ago, the story with Joshua Bell, with the it's a story with the violinist Joshua Bell. He's one of the world. Say they did a social experiment here in the Washington Metro a few years ago. So the writer wrote about it. He named the piece about it "Pearls Before Breakfast." So here is this person with a $3 million Stradivarius. Playing one of the most complicated pieces of violin music in the Washington Metro station, dressed in a Nationals t-shirt and a baseball cap, right, looking like a mendicant, right. So how many people are going to stop to listen? So they took bets. They really, Joshua Bell. They took bets. You know, the different. They asked different conductors, and 200 people will stop, right. So they had a video camera trained on him to see how many. So in the 45 minutes he was playing, over 1,000 people walked by. 7 people stopped to listen. This gorgeous piece of Monday morning in the metro station downtown. We don't do this all the time. You walk around your house to shul. You're not going to the world's greatest symphony. Do you hear the birds? Do you see the sky? We don't do it. I need Hashkafa. I see Hashkafa in my life, right? Because this worked out. Then, now the sky's beautiful. How many times do we stop and just push and stare at the sky? How much are we mesmerized by the sky? Beautiful sunset, you know. Wow, you know. What about just the blue sky? Just like sun working, like we go to the bathroom. So you have the signs, you know, 20 seconds, stop, you know, you get it, you can talk and say these things in 20 seconds, you know, it's not bad, you know, right? They said the sniper took 4 minutes to say Asher Yotzar. It took him 4 minutes to say Asher Yotzar. He stopped and thought about the chesed of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. No, Hashkacha Pratis. My body's functioning. That's I don't need more than that. The Baruch Hu did a special chesed for me that it worked out. That like just simple reality of our lives. I can talk. I can walk. I can see. We all grapple with this. You know, we become used to something. It becomes normal to us, and that's the way it is. I had cataract surgery. I'm sorry. This is a breach of professionalism. Being, you know, giving talking about my So I had cataract surgery, and I had very significant cataracts. I saw the world. White for me was yellow, gray. I didn't know that until I had surgery. So remember the day after surgery, after they took off the patch, I was in Tel still. So the tiles in the bathroom on the wall are white. They're very bright white. So I walked into the bathroom, and I couldn't stop staring at the tiles. So I just it was time for diving. I was so mesmerized by the beauty of the color white. I hadn't seen white in years. I forgot what white looked like. I was standing there staring at the wall. I remember like afterwards somebody asked like, "What are you doing?" I just looking at the tiles. They're like, "What, you know, like, do you do this every day? Staring at the tiles?" Like. I came out and I said Pekach Ivrim with this phenomenal kavana, and I said the rest of my life doesn't work like that. You're not going to say that Pekach Ivrim the rest of your life the same way you said it that moment you got eyesight back, but we should. Birchas HaShachar drives me crazy. It drives me crazy the way it's said. So you know you have the shul speed, you know, depending on which one you daven, you know, they have a time clock, you know. Birchas Hashachar should take 1 minute from beginning to end, you know, 1.5 minutes. In yeshiva they do it like, you know, with the whole nusa Baruch Atah Hashem Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. It's like it's all a game. Just stop before you say the bracha. Shut your eyes. Yeshiva Reisler one time said, he says, before you say the bracha, just shut your eyes. And imagine what it's like not to be able to see. Then open your eyes and say, Pekach Ivrim. Right? He talked about Mechim Echad Etzaber. Move your foot. Move your foot before you say Mechim Echad Etzaber. Touch your belt. You know, just something to remind you of what you're saying. But of an emes, when I was in Oval, for my father, Oliver Shalom, so I found it very difficult. I prefer davening more slowly, and I was used to davening more slowly. And I'm talking about Tel Shiva Shachris without Krabonis, average morning was 55 minutes, not a Monday or a Thursday. It was too fast for me. I found it very difficult. So I was Ben Azmanim, some Ben Azmanim, I was in Muncie. So I was by Rav Schwab in the I davened. And drop the name over there. Yeshiva or Schwab was the Mashkeir Shraga. What's it called? Hey Shraga, thank you. So I shared my frustration with him that, you know, my davening is I'm stuck to a pace. I got to go quickly. You know, no time to think, to absorb the words. Let the words change you, be affected by it. And I'm just like, it's so frustrating. He says, the Eitzah is to say Birchas HaShachar by yourself at home. And just take as long as you need. And then you're ready, charged and ready to go. So you come to davening, you're ready in the mode. You get into a zone. Right? I think I shared with you, I had a Maisa once. I'm sure we all had our Maisas, you know. that a bill came in which I needed to pay immediately for very significant reasons, and I had no way to pay. And I remember, it was lunchtime. I went home, my wife was home, and we sat and discussed this thing, that thing. Says nishkagan. There was no eitzim. So okay, I came back to mincha, and I started saying Ashrei. I get to Pesach, and I see the whole chayrat son. I says, "No, the Russian runs the world. He's giving me whatever I need. So what am I worried about?" The problem is that wasn't true. I was worried. But if you really believe this, Simon Ashrech. If you don't believe it, don't say it. Elamai, you're saying it, believe it. But to say it, not believe it. If you believe it, so stop worrying. So I said, okay, I'm going to say it again. This still didn't help. I'll say it again. Till I felt that it started sinking in. I started relaxing. It took me 40 times. I don't know. It took me 40 times until I started relaxing. I probably never davened in my life before. Davening is supposed to change you. Davening is supposed to affect you. Davening is supposed to inspire you. You're supposed to walk out of a davening different than you walked into a davening. And if you didn't, you didn't daven. You said words. You're mekayim the halacha, etc. Beautiful. That's not what davening is. Davening is something which is supposed to be an experience where it affects you. If it didn't affect you, you didn't daven. If your emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't greater, if your worries are still there, if your feelings of avah to Kadosh Baruch Hu have not increased, you didn't really daven. So the Rosh says you need to train ourselves to talk, if not during davening, if not the whole day, at least during davening. So if you get to a pasuk which you feel is speaking to you, so stop, savor it, absorb it, enjoy it. We have no time. We're on a clock. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman has his one of his books is called The Shul Without a Clock. That's the name. The first essay is about imagining having a shul with no clock. So one day you're in a mood of going quickly, you feel up, so you go quickly. One day you're in a mood of going contemplatively and slowly, you go slowly. How can you daven on a clock? But we all do. Our lives are very busy, and we all do it. So you need to find ways to address that. So if not during davening, it's sometime during the day. A person stops in his room and talks to his creator. The Rosh Hashanah, I love you. I mean, are we comfortable saying those words in the middle of the day? Just this woman got up in the middle of the Washington Metro in front of 60 people. Says so and so, I love you. She didn't care what people thought about her. Because she did. She really loves him. So I fret about saying it to somebody else. I say it to myself. Rosh, I love you. I don't know. Maybe you're all comfortable with it. But I it's not something which comes easily off my tongue. Why? So I think that's something which we need to think about. And then we want our tzibidim to have emunah. We want our tzibidim to have to have bitachon. But we want our tzibidim to find Torah real. Torah is the most real thing in the world. It gives you the kalim to see the world the way it's supposed to be. If we're not seeing the world the way it's supposed to be with the Torah that we're learning, so maybe we're not learning right. Maybe we're not davening right. Maybe we're not doing mitzvahs right. Mitzvahs are the hechatimsa to remind me constantly that the Baruch Hashem is there. My putting on tefillin that remind me that the Baruch Hashem is in control of the world. So I dutifully say the words at the beginning of, because the halacha, you have to say the words, remind you that the Bereshim is, that he's the one who's in control. I say the words. Is that all that we're supposed to accomplish with that? I'm putting on tefillin on my arm and my head to remind me that the Bereshim Pasha controls the world. We need to stop and think about that. There's so much more we could do, and for ourselves, for our Talmidim, etc. And the Rosh's suggestion is the more we talk about it, the more we think about it, the more it's going to actually be absorbed.